Thank you, Brother Ziegler, and certainly it has been my privilege to be with you for these few days, and honestly, I've enjoyed being with you. It's been good, and I want to say thank you for giving us the opportunity. Thank you for supporting the meeting, and I mean that. There's a lot of places that we go, they don't have a strong church like you have, and thank you for supporting the revival. And this was a youth revival, but, you know, there was just a lot of senior citizens. We're not old. We're just senior citizens, okay? But just a lot of senior citizens here in the services, and that's because you love your church, you love your young people, and I appreciate that so very much. And really, you have a good group of young people. And I stood back there, before the service started tonight, and listened to the choirs they were practicing, and then spend some time with the young people in a pre-service tonight. And throughout the week, I've been impressed with the young people that are here, and it's just great. Now, let me tell you something. You know sometimes what happens to old people? We get cranky. Is that right? I hope I never get cranky. I really do. But you know, sometimes it happens. And I trust that you'll never get cranky with your young people. Amen? Oh, I'm glad somebody agreed with me. But it's just so important that you support your young people, because the song they sang, I don't want to lose the vision. I don't want to lose the glory. You know, it's older people. My father-in-law used to say, it's the older people that's the backlog to the fire. In other words, it's the big fire. It's the big piece of wood that holds the fire over the night. It's young people, though, that's kindling. And they help to get things going. Sometimes we older people need that. Did you know that? We just need a little fire underneath us to keep us moving. Well, the young people will do that. And they need the older people to just help to hold them steady and keep them on the keep them focused and keep them on the straight and narrow way. And so I want you to do that. And so remember, stand by your young people, mom and dad, and grandpa and grandma, and great grandpa and great grandma. Stand behind your young people and support them and encourage them. Thank you to the Zieglers for the wonderful hospitality. Thank you so very much. Enjoyed being with you on your home. The meals, great cook. And they just did a great job. Thank you for the wonderful RV. And that was just great to be able to stay in that and just feel a little bit like I was camping. And but it was good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Ziegler, for the tours. He took me back through the hills. I couldn't find my way through these hills. I guess if I do it 150 times, I probably could. But it's just, I mean, we have some of this back home, but it's not quite the same. And I live out in the country. There's one family that can see our house in the wintertime. Summertime, they can't hardly see it. There's enough leaves on the trees. So we have a lot of privacy, but we just don't have quite as much as some of you all. But thank you for the tours, and enjoyed, again, being with you all. Just everything, just wrap it all up. It was just wonderful to be able to be with you. Thank you for the wonderful offering. And by the way, that offering goes totally for the assistance of senior citizens. You got it. Thank you for being so good, so kind, your comments, and we just appreciate it. We enjoy being with you, and we always take memories back with us, and we'll be praying for you all, that God will bless and help you here at the church. So good to see some Penview alumni. Oh my, it's great. Now what I'd like to see, and I'm no longer at the school as president, but I still want to see young people to go to Penview. And I know Brother Durkee would sanction what I'm saying right now. So you young people, I want you to think, I want you to pray, and I want you to get God's divine direction. For some of you need to go to Bible college. In fact, all of you need to go to Bible college, not some of you. You need to go to Bible college. And I'd like to say every one of you needs to go to Penview, okay? But I understand that God's will must be done, and that's what we want. But I want you to seriously consider Penview Bible Institute. And God is blessed there. And I believe God is still blessing. And we thank God for it. So, but again, young people, let's fly the banner of holiness high. Let's be true to the heritage that you sang about in just a few moments ago. But again, as Brother Ziegler said, we will be traveling after the service. And we're going to... there's just something, there's just a longing to get home. You ever have that feeling? It just seems like the way, going home, the way is just a little shorter. It just seems that way. And I hope it is tonight. But we'll be, if everything goes well, we'll probably pull in home maybe about 6 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And so if you think of us, you wake up through the night, pray for us. If I get too tired, I'm going to stop and sleep for 10 or 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Some of those power naps is enough to just give me a few more hours. So, but you pray for us that God will be with us as we travel tonight. Tonight I want you to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17. I feel like this message goes along with the song that they sang tonight. John chapter 17. I want to begin a reading with verse number 9. While you're looking for that, I want to say publicly, thank you, James, for bringing that T-bone, trombone. Give me an opportunity to play with this good orchestra up here. And every once in a while, if you heard a sour note, it was mine. But thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it. Stand, if you will, please, for the reading of the word. Beginning with verse 9, reading down through verse number 18. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And he's praying, and he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now, I am no more in the world, pardon me, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Let's pray. We thank you tonight, Father, that we've been able to sense your presence in this service. Our heart was so touched tonight as the choir sang that wonderful song of the heritage that we have that's been handed to us. We thank you for it. It's more than a heritage that's been given to us through those who preceded us in the church. But Lord, it's a heritage that you've given to us. We're asking, oh God, that you'll help us to be true to it. And tonight, Father, as we endeavor to unburden our heart, I pray that thou would give us that kind of unction and anointing that only you can give us. Help us, Lord, to only say that which will bring glory to your name. Refrain from saying anything that would not bring glory. For all that is accomplished tonight, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to focus on a few of the verses, a couple of the verses tonight. Verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Spirit. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." And verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil." Jesus has come down to the end of his earthly ministry, and Jesus is praying for his disciples there in the upper room. Jesus came for the purpose of rescuing mankind. He came for the purpose of giving his life on the cross of Calvary. Came for the purpose of shedding his blood that man might be saved. He came for the purpose of helping to make it possible for man to go to heaven. And here in his prayer, he's praying because he's getting ready to leave them and return to heaven. He remembers the many times that he sat with them as he taught the scriptures to the multitude. Then after the crowd was dispersed, he would seek out they would seek out personal explanation of the truth, and Jesus would talk with them. The great heart of God is now concerned that those whom he taught would be kept in the faith, and Jesus prays for them. In verse number 9, he prays, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world." That doesn't mean that he wasn't concerned about the world, but right at that particular part of his prayer, he was concerned about those that were with him, those that saw the miracles, those that heard him teach. Verse 11, he says, "I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." Verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And now I come to thee." 15, I read it once, so let me read it again. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil." Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." His great concern was for our keeping. One of the things that's been a concern of mine, I've seen so many people make a start. But it seems like somewhere and for whatever reason along the way, they've allowed something to cause them to lose their focus. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you for a short time on the subject of 6 ways to remain spiritual. That was the concern of Jesus about his disciples. I believe it's the concern of your pastor for you tonight that you remain true. It's my concern as well. 6 ways to remain spiritual. First of all, keep your eyes on Jesus. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 20, "And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." When Peter and the disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came walking on the water, and they thought it was a ghost, they thought it was a spirit. And Peter said, "If thou be the Lord, would you beckon me to come?" And Jesus said, "Come." Peter climbs out over the side of the boat. I'd like to ask you a question tonight. Would have you climbed out over the side of the boat on the water? We can talk about Peter looking at the waves and going down, and we understand that. But I think it took some courage and some faith on the part of Peter to crawl out over the side of the boat. But while Peter was walking on the water to Jesus, he did well until he took his eyes off of the Lord
And he looked at the waves and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. His problem was he took his eyes off of the Master. You and I can get our eyes off of Jesus. It's so easy in our day to get our eyes off the Lord. There's so many things that's going on. There's so many things to divert our attention. My mind goes back to when I was just a lad growing up in the church on a Sunday night. There were many, many sinners in the Sunday night service. Many. There really wasn't much else to do. So they went to the house of God. But today, and I thank God for a church that's nearly full tonight, but in most places, you hardly have a sinner on a Sunday night anymore. It's hard to keep people focused to even go to the house of God on a Sunday because there's so many things that's out there to get our attention. So many activities on the Lord's Day. And if we don't put up some resistance, we'll fall to those activities because of some pressures that come our way. And we'll just kind of give in. It's easy for us to get our eyes on this present world. You know, it's easy to get our eyes, and stay with me here, it's easy to get our eyes on just making money. Don't you have to have some money to live, Brother Zechman? Yes, I do. And so do you. But we can get ourselves to the place until we've become so involved and so busy working at the jobs, whether it's the second job, the third job, and it may be necessary to make ends meet, I don't know. But I'm just simply telling you tonight, keep your focus on Jesus. Don't allow you to lose your focus and get it to the place that you're more concerned about making the money than you are following Jesus Christ. Amen. It's easy to get our eyes on this present world. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And Jesus set the example for us. And he was victorious there in the wilderness. He did not succumb to the pressures of the enemy. And tonight, friend, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't allow your focus to get on just simply this present world. But keep your eyes on Jesus. There are many today that are deviating from the truth. There are many that are making it easy because they want to please many. They're selling out to please man. They're willing to sell the principles of God's word. They're willing to sell their spiritual standing. They're willing to sell out. Again, just for some things of this present world, we cannot afford it. And as they sang tonight, oh, help us, oh God, that we'll be true to the heritage that was given to us. I want you to know it's going to take some work, and it's going to take some exercise. It's going to take some discipline, but may God help us. I made some statements when I was at the school as president. You know, Bible colleges usually do not have lots of surplus of money. I just wish it wasn't quite that way, okay? I could have slept a whole lot better. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is what it means to keep me on my knees in prayer, then, Lord, let it happen. I don't know if you got that. If this is what it means to go through some financial pressure and have to go to the place of prayer and pray earnestly, oh God, I need your help. I believe that God allowed some things like that to keep me at the place of prayer, Brother John. And my prayer was, oh God, if that's what, you know why I prayed that way? Because I don't want to get careless. I don't want to get careless in this day. I don't want to get careless in this day of easy living. And then we lose sight of Jesus Christ. I'm not advocating financial problems. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm advocating keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. I talked about this the other night in service, but I want to come back to it tonight. Don't fix your eyes on the inconsistencies of man. Man will fail you, but Jesus never will. My father-in-law, J.T. Carroll, some of your older people probably knew him. He evangelized, he traveled across this country preaching. He came to be our pastor back in the 60s. And during that time is when that lady that's back home that's looking for me tonight and I got together and we tied the knot, and it's been tied very tight. But we would sit with my father-in-law, and he would tell us stories, and this is what he would tell us. He said, when I was down in the hills of Arkansas in the Baptist church, he said, when I was 12 years of age, he said, I got saved. And he said, I would stand and testify. And every time I stand and testify, I break down and cry. I could only say a few words and then I'd cry. And he said, I got so ashamed of myself. He said, on the way walking home from church one night on the old dusty road down near Marmaduke, Arkansas, he said, I looked up to heaven and I said, oh God, if you'll let me alone, I'll let you alone. And God took Dad at his word for a number of years. I'm not going to go into all the story of what took place from that time until God got back to him. But God did begin to deal with him again. And Dad did get saved probably about 10 or 12 years later. He got back to God, and thank God for it. But Dad went up into the state of Missouri, and he heard the message of holiness under Uncle Buddy Robinson and Dr. Chapman and those old-time Nazarenes. And he got sanctified. And he went back down to Arkansas to the church where he grew up, the Baptist church out there in the country. And he tried to lead them into holiness. Now he said, in that church, he said, I tried to tell them about being sanctified, and he said, they turned me out. They wouldn't listen to me. He said, I've been a member of the church growing up, and as long as I was out there running in sin, he said, they never took my membership. But he said, when I came back and told them I got sanctified, they put me out of the church. But he said, in that church, in the basement of the church, they made moonshine. I'm serious. They made moonshine in the basement of the church. And he said, when church was ended, when the services were ended, he said the church turned blue from the people lighting their cigarettes inside the church. He said, when I looked at the inconsistency of all of that, of course, he had to get his eyes off of them, and he had to fix his eyes on Jesus Christ. And sad to say, but around the Holiness Church, there are individuals that don't live like they ought to live. And there's inconsistencies. But let me tell you something, young people. Let me tell you something, Mom and Dad. Don't fix your eyes on the inconsistencies of individuals, because if you do, you'll take your eyes off of Jesus and you'll go down just like Peter did. Don't allow man to cause your spiritual thermometer to fluctuate. Don't fix your eyes on the inconsistencies of man. Number two, not just keep your eyes on Jesus, but number two, keep the slate clean. In Acts 24:16, Paul said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Live with a conscience that's clear. Live with a conscience that's clear between brethren. Live with a conscience that's clear as sisters. Live with a conscience that's clear so that there's no problems that causes you to get your eyes off of Jesus. Keep the slate clean. In our walk with God, there may be times that we'll err. We have this treasure in earthen vessels and we may err. But you know something? I'm glad that God is there in His mercy to reach down to where we are and pick us back up and restore us and restore the joy back into our heart. Thank God. And if you do err, be man enough to back up and straighten it out. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Keep the slate clean. Keep a conscience that's void of offense between you and your fellow man and between you and God. Number three, keep doing what was necessary to get saved. At the altar, as an individual's praying and God is dealing with them about their own life, there's things that God puts His finger on and we lay on the altar and we say, "Lord, if You'll forgive me, I'll never do it again. I will abstain. I will never go back to those places again. I'll never do it again." You promise God. You laid those things on the altar and victory came. But now, to keep the victory, we cannot afford to go back and take those things off the altar. If we're going to keep the victory tonight, young people, don't take those things off the altar. If we're going to keep the victory, mom and dad, you can't take those things off the altar. Keep those things on the altar that God has had you to put on. We tonight must keep doing what is necessary to get saved. Number four, keep doing what you know is right. In James 4 and 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Our society today is telling us that if it feels good, do it. Thank God you young people are growing up in a good church where you're being taught. Thank God. I sense that. I sense that foundation here. I sense that stability. And thank God. But do you know something? We've got to keep doing what we know is right. We're not looking for some loophole. We can't violate God's word and get to heaven. Just because many other churches are allowing some things that they used to say was wrong, that doesn't make it right for us. Oh, God, help us to keep doing what we know is right. Stand true. Stand steadfast. Don't change. Be what God wants you to be and keep doing what's right. Number five. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. It is difficult to live in the world but not be of the world. But Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he prayed, "Oh God, keep my disciples. Keep them. Keep them from the evil." And tonight, we must keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to get as close to the world as possible. But stay away from it. Keep a distance. Don't let it rub off on you. It's so easy to rationalize until we feel like it's just no longer wrong. Let me tell you tonight, God's word doesn't change. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Live like a Christian. Ephesians 4:17. Henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, but keep doing right. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. I spoke the other night on our associations, our relationships. It's amazing the influence that others have on us. And we buddy up to them. And we get into their camp. And we spend so much time with them. And they maybe don't believe quite like we do. And if we're not careful, it's easy for them to rub off on us. Let me tell you tonight, don't let it happen. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And number six tonight, keep your heart open to God's will. Matthew 26:39, nevertheless, Jesus in his prayer says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Tonight, as I spoke to the young people downstairs, I talked to them about finding and knowing God's will. I believe tonight if we keep our heart open and we want God's will, God will be faithful to lead every one of us. And mom and dad, set the example for the young people. It's not do as I say, but let it be do as I do. Can they, your young people, truly step in the same footprints that you're making for them? And will you lead them down the path that's right? Be an example at home. Be an example in the church. Be an example for the young people to follow. Our young people need heroes. Our young people need somebody that they can look up to. They need somebody that they can esteem and say, I want to be like brother so-and-so. I want to be like sister so-and-so. Live the life. And as I mentioned in the early part of my message tonight, or in the preliminary part of it, I said to us, as far as older people, let's not get cranky. And let's not get critical. Amen. It's so easy for us to get critical when we get a little older. Let's not get critical. Get behind those young people and push them if you please. But you know, it's more than just be behind them pushing them, but it's leading them, because you're living a life that's pleasing to God. You're living a holy life. You're living an example. You're living a life that's true to the heritage. There's a song, that chorus that we used to sing a lot. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Let's be quick to be obedient to God. Let's be quick to obey Him. Let's do our best. Do you know why? Because we've got to make it to the city. We have to make it to the city. I'm going to close with this illustration tonight. This illustration was given by Glenn Griffith many years ago. And it's only an illustration. Said that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, He was greeted by the angels. Oh, they said, Jesus, you did a wonderful job. You gave your life. You shed your blood. You made it possible for man to be redeemed. You made it possible for man's sins to be forgiven. You made it possible. Oh, Jesus, you did a wonderful job. And then they asked the Lord, and again, an illustration. You've come back to heaven, Jesus. But how will the gospel be preached? You've come back to heaven. Who is going to take the message of the gospel? Who's going to tell the others about it? Oh, Jesus said, look down into Jerusalem. There you'll see the 120 that are gathered waiting for the promise of the Father there in the upper room. They're going to preach it. They're going to proclaim it. And the angel said, that's wonderful.
Then they ask another question. But what if they don't? What other plan do you have? And as the illustration and only an illustration goes, he dropped his head and said, I have no other plan. Tonight, let's be true to the heritage. Let's be true to the word. Let's be true. Don't allow yourself to give in. Don't allow yourself to let down. Don't allow yourself to get involved with this present world and get unbalanced until that begins to control your life. Remember, we're leading our young people, mom and dad. Grandpa and grandma, we're leading our grandchildren. I used to think when my daughter got married, I used to think, well, my responsibilities are done now, but you know, that's not true. That wasn't true. My responsibilities only increased. No, I didn't have the day-to-day responsibilities, but I had the responsibilities of my daughter. I brought her into the world, and just because she was married now didn't mean that I no longer had responsibility. Then we prayed for grandchildren, and God gave us 2 grandchildren. And do you know what? My responsibilities got greater. No, I know it wasn't my job to correct my grandchildren, although I did once in a while. I know it wasn't my job. I know it wasn't my job to feed them, although I helped every once in a while. It wasn't my job. But it's my responsibility to see them make it to the city. Are you following me tonight? It's my responsibility. I prayed them into this world. And tonight, we have a responsibility no matter how old we are. There are those that are watching. There are those that are following. There are those that are trying to imitate our life. Lord, help us to live a good life. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us to be consistent. Help us to fly the flag of holiness high. And more than flying it on the outside, but Lord, help us to fly it on the inside, because it's the conviction of our heart. Sister, and one of you come and play that chorus, I'll say yes, Lord, yes to you. You know it here. Would you come, please? People, I've been impressed here, and I mean that. What I'm sharing with you comes right from my heart. Don't let Satan do anything to get your young people. Don't let Satan get in any way to get your young people or get you. Jesus prayed, Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they might behold our glory. That they might behold our glory. Where is that to be? In heaven above. And tonight, we've got to make it by the grace of God. And I want you to know we can by the grace of God. Let's stand. And I want us to sing in closing. My heart says yes. If you have something you want to pray about, this altar is always open. I want you to come. If you want to pray, we're here to pray with you. But I want us to sing together. My heart says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's sing it together.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
Do you mean that tonight?
To your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey when your Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, my eyes, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I will trust you and obey. Oh, when your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those that taught us. We thank you, Lord, for those that lived the life before us. We thank you, Jesus. But Lord, I think of those, my mother, my daddy, and grandparents, and many others, oh God, they're gone. Now the responsibility rests on us tonight. And I pray, oh God, that thou will help everyone in this sanctuary tonight. I pray that you'll help us, oh God, to purpose. By the grace of God, we're going to live pure. We're going to live clean. We're going to be the one that's pleasing thee. We're going to be the man for thee. We're going to be the woman for you. We're going to be the boy for you, the girl for you. Oh God, and I pray that you'll keep them in thy favor. Keep them in the faith. Oh God, don't let anything happen, oh God, that would cause them to lose the faith. Help our young people, oh God, tonight. We love the young people, and we're asking, oh God, that you put a hedge around every one of them. And Lord, don't let the world, oh, don't let the world make an impact on their lives. Put a hedge around them, oh God, and put an insulation there until, Lord, the world will never penetrate them. Oh God, I pray that you'll help us. There may be some here tonight that are not in the faith. They're not where they ought to be. I pray that you'll help them, oh God, to realize they have a responsibility, first of all, for themselves. But there are other people that are watching them. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to do right. Now, Father, be with us as we go. May your hand rest upon us. May your hand of blessing rest upon this church. Oh God, keep them in your favor, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I just feel like I want to sing it one more time. Let's sing it in closing.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Oh, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey when your Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.
Could you sing it and turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them as you're singing it, that's what you're going to do. Just do that tonight in closing. Shake hands with the next person next to you as we sing it one more time.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey when your Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
God bless your heart. Shake hands, be friendly, and you're dismissed.